Thank you, Ryan. One thing that is a little confusing from that illustration of Don the Welsh is the idea that somehow in the breath of life is inbreathed into the body, that the spirit is somehow born. Does he leave the impression that somehow the spirit is just a combination of the two, or is that just, could that better be explained with another illustration?
Maybe so. He's pretty emphatic about the fact that the spirit is not caused by the inbreathing of the breath of life, but it's just at the same time. The spirit's put in there by God by some means, and that's when everything happens. All
right. Matt Trent.
I always count on your brother, Mark.
I'm curious, Ryan, what the negative cost would be for me to accept the dichotomy?
The negative consequences, well, one of the problems you have is the idea that man is body and soul, and that animals have soul. And so, do they have a spirit? I mean, what's the difference? Yeah, the materialists go even a step further and say that man is all soul. That's all he is. When he dies, he's dead. That's it. But I have to think about it a little more.
Also, when Christ talks about the greatest commandment, what distinction would you make between mind and spirit?
None. I don't think that passage is separating out parts of man there, because he talks about strength too. Yeah.
Masterful, Ryan. Very good. Very good. Some things you brought out, I think, probably very much illustrates sometimes our weakness in talking about man after death, about being in the Hadean realm, and some of the distinctions between the Hadean realm and the resurrected body. And I think it's very, very good what you seem to point out, and I'll see if you agree with what I'm saying. Is that in the Hadean realm, we are disembodied spirits there. And one big difference between us and what we have in our resurrected body is that we have a body then. Is that your understanding?
Yeah. Sometimes it's referred to as an intermediate state, but I think if you speak of it as disembodied, that's even more accurate.
Okay, then another question following up on that. In this life, we have spirit, soul, and body. In the resurrected, after the resurrection, can we say that? Spirit, soul, and body?
I wouldn't think so.
Spirit and glorified body or resurrected body?
Benny brought out the point that angels are a two-part being. They're spirit and body, and that's what we'll be like when we are resurrected. Because the soul is so connected to earthly life. It is the life of our physical body. And when we die, that physical life will go with the body, and our spiritual existence is the only thing that we left.
Alan.
I think you did a great job, Ryan. A lot of study, and it's hard to get it all in 45 minutes. That's one of the lessons you learn at these deals.
Yeah.
It doesn't get easier as the time goes by. You'll see. In reference to what Matt said, I think one of the biggest negative implications of a dichotomous view, that is, man is just soul and body, and that the soul is the same as the spirit, is the fact that in Genesis 6, animals have the breath of life breathed into them, and man has the breath of life breathed into him, and that's what made man a living soul, and therefore you would have no distinction between men and animals. If you had animals are two-part beings also,
yeah.
Soul and body, and man would have no distinction from the animals. Animals have the breath of life too, in other words.
Oh, yeah. In fact, in Genesis 1 verse 30, it speaks of those who have life, just speaking of soul, and it speaks of living creatures. In verse 24, that's the same thing as a living soul in Genesis 2:7. And so you can't distinguish between men and animals by soul.
Having done all this work, I'm sure you want to explain Ecclesiastes 3, 19 to 21 to us. It says, the spirit of the animal goeth downward, the spirit of man goeth upward.
Yeah, it sure does. Well, you know, that would go in contradiction to what Isaiah says about the Egyptians' horses, that they're not spirits. And the fact is, if Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 21 teaches that animals have a spirit, it's the only passage in all the Bible that says that. And we have to remember that Ecclesiastes is a book of poetry, and that it's written from a man's perspective under the sun. I do have some points on that. The key verse in Ecclesiastes must surely be chapter 2, verse 11. Thus I considered all my activities which my hands had done, and the labor which I had exerted, and beheld all was vanity and striving after wind, and there was no profit under the sun. The phrase "under the sun," which is used sometimes some 30 times, indicates the perspective of the writer at various points of the book. Under the sun means viewing life at ground level without any thought of higher values, omitting any light from revelation or any notion of God. The phrase "vanity of vanities" expresses the general futility of activity done on the earth, and that's from James Smith's introduction to the wisdom literature. So the fact is that the book of Ecclesiastes, we're dealing with poetry, we're dealing with Solomon's wisdom as things are under the earth, and it may have appeared to him that animals had the same thing in them. They had breath and life, so he may not have been able to distinguish between soul and spirit. But besides all that, earlier in that passage, you know, he's talking about how man and animals are just the same. And the reason he inserts that, verse 21, is so you don't have any doubt that there is a difference between men and animals. That's the main point Solomon's making. I don't know if that answers it.
Well, I think that's a pretty good answer. It's a difficult passage, and it's like Michael said last night, everything in these subjects doesn't always work out just like we want it to. It is a difficult passage, but whatever that passage means, it cannot overthrow the clear teachings that you presented that are contained not only in Isaiah, but throughout the Word of God. And I think he's talking there about how man and animals are alike, but at that point in verse 21, he does make a distinction about the fact that when an animal's life ends, it ends, and man's spirit goes back to God.
Yeah, and if you study the spirit even a little bit, you know, it doesn't go downward to the earth. That's not the nature of the spirit.
Ryan, in the beginning, God said, "Let us make man in our image." What parts of man, part or parts of man, end up in God's image?
His spirit, I would say, is what's being referred to there. I had a bunch of information on that. You know, the Bible says that God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. John 4, verse 24. And so, if you're going to be in the image of God, you're going to have to be spirit. And I think Crawford makes it pretty clear. He explains that the spirit of man reflects what is the true image of God. It is said that the simplest way to understand God is in terms of person and spirit. And in Genesis 1, there you have the passage saying that God creates man in his image, and then he gives him dominion. He gives him the ability to do things that animals can't do, in that he's more like God because he has a mind, he has a personality, and he has an immortal spirit.
Now, did that describe only the sinless man?
No.
Or does that continue?
No, in fact, there's several passages that refer to man after the fall in sin, or however you want to rephrase that, and he's still in the image of God. However, maybe someone here can help me with this. In the New Testament, you have this teaching of being renewed in the image of God, and You know, it's hard to understand that when you see that the image of God remains even in the sinner in some form, but after that, he can be renewed in it. It's very confusing.
Mike.
Hey.
Hi.
Microphone. I don't know if it's worth that.
The sinner is renewed after the image of Jesus. When a man obeys the gospel and he is renewed, I believe it's in the image of Christ, the Spirit of Christ, as we put him on, put on Christ, Paul told the Galatians. So that's the big difference. I don't think it's being made in the image of the Father, but in the image of our Savior. That's just a thought.
Yeah, that's better.
Other questions for Ryan? GB, come to the microphone, please. That's a tough discipline.
Could you explain that glass of water? I didn't catch it. I didn't understand what was the illustration, okay. How that worked.
Well, the illustration, it may be faulty, I don't know, but it's interesting in that it shows that man is a three-part being, and the soul of man can be easily understood as referring to the whole man, in that the soul is sometimes referred to as the person, your personality, who you are, the way you are. Why you are the way you are is because your spirit comes from God and your body comes from your parents. And so that's why you have a lot of similarities from your parents, even in things like your personality, even in things like your intellect and ability to understand things. It's because of the combination there. And certainly that's maybe a difficult thought to get a handle on.